Morning, everyone. So Pastor James this morning talked about water baptism. I'm going to put in a shameless plug for that as well. If you'd like to be baptized next Sunday, you get one of these cool t-shirts. So come and be baptized if you haven't done that yet as an adult. I also am proud to share the word of God with you this morning and have two of the young people from youth group assist with that. And so you know, we talk a lot about the church of tomorrow, but I love the youth because they're not the church of tomorrow, they're the church of today. So it's an honor to be able to participate in doing this along with them. So if you would be so kind as to stand this morning for the reading of God's word, we'll be reading from Romans chapter 8. So Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory of which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, for the redemption of our body.
For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Ruth, could you pray?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll be with Pastor Mike today and that you will lead him to speak the words that you'd have for all of us to hear this morning. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Not sure? Actually, I'm very sure. If I was a parent, I'd be so proud. Can't wait to get him up here and preach. So Des, when you get to preach, you can make your grandpa proud by preaching and actually using just the King James language. He'll be just giddy about it. My name is Mike LeClaire. I'm the pastor of Living Hope Church. I am blessed to see you all here today. I was blessed to be with the men yesterday. Oh my goodness, Matt, what you brought. It was amazing. It's the first time I cried watching the Avengers. Because I was moved because you hit the mark in such a beautiful way, and I was just blessed by it. I'd like to pray real quick before we get started. We can't not be praying for the people of the Ukraine, their president. We cannot not be praying for our president, and we cannot not be praying for Israel. As I said last week, all roads lead to Israel. I am telling you. Pray for Israel. That's what we're called to do. So Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now. And we pray that by your Spirit, you do the miraculous work in that part of the country. Our hearts break as we see and witness the things that are taking place with the people of the Ukraine. We can only imagine what it is to walk in the steps of President Zelensky. Father, I just pray your hand to be upon them and him. And Father, we lift up Israel to you, and we pray, Father, that your hand would be upon them because you're going to accomplish something amazing with them and through them. So we lift them up to you as well. And Father, we think of our own President Biden, that your hand would be upon him, that he would make decisions as you lead him for your glory and for your honor, that he'd make those decisions. Keep him safe as he goes about the business of being president of this country. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the last couple weeks have been quite amazing. We had a little break from our pattern, but here's what I know. In life groups, scriptures are being read, discussed, massaged, worked through, absorbed. And there's no way we can go through 39 verses today to cover the meat that this chapter brings. Oh my, this chapter. This is an incredible chapter. But I know in my spirit that it's been discussed and gone through in the life groups. My plug here is to get involved in a life group. It's simple, it's sweet, and it's beautiful. And it gives me liberties to talk about some things that I'd like to talk about. Before we get into Romans 8, I'd like to lay a little bit of the foundation. And the foundation goes like this. We have to go back. And you've heard this many times. And every time we go back, feel good about going back. Amen. It shows the line from beginning to end whenever we go back to the beginning to lay that foundation. So what's the foundation? Foundation was that God is speaking to Adam and Eve in the garden. And he lays a foundation in Genesis chapter 2. I think it's 15. And he says, of every tree in the garden, you may eat. And in that, there's also the tree of life in that group of trees in the garden. You may eat from those. But of this one tree you shall not eat. And it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. and it's emphatic and it's strong that we were not to eat from that tree. I believe we're still eating from that tree this day, very honestly. And it's having the effect on us in even subtle ways, like it would have on people at the beginning of creation, Adam and Eve. He says, you should not eat of that tree. Because if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Wow, what a foundational statement. Powerful. Genesis 3:15 says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is what God is speaking to Satan after he tempted Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when he says, I'll put enmity, I will put this thing between them and me. No, I'm sorry, between them and Satan. That's what God is saying to Satan. He will put enmity of the woman and her seed against you, Satan, and your seed. There's going to be this war, if you will, that's spiritual. And I'm going to tell you right now, the war for those who are not of God has a different feel. The attacks that come against you are different than the attacks that come against the saints of God. I'm still laying a foundation. There will be this enmity. Well, here's what happens. When people ally with Satan, there's no enmity really going on. There's no physical things that you can see or observe. The enmity becomes something that goes against God. You understand what I'm saying? When you side up with the things of this world apart from God, the enmity is now against him. That's just incredibly powerful. And I'm going to share with you a little bit about what that looks like. In John 8:43, it says, why do you not understand my speech? This is Jesus speaking. Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. There is a problem right out of the gate with mankind that we do not believe the words of God. We don't believe the words of God until we are in God. This is what this chapter is about. In Romans, we are to be in him. When we are in him, his spirit dwells in us. We now hear from him. When we are apart from him, we cannot hear. We cannot discern. We cannot make sense of the words that he speaks to us. Why? Because we don't belong to him. That is a stinking shame. If we don't belong to him, we're lost. We're in bad shape. This new father, little f, this father you listen to. And the desires of his heart become the desires of your heart. And we hear things like knowledge is power, and we pursue knowledge like that is the end of all things. And what do we miss? We miss hearing from the Spirit of God. We're pursuing the wrong things. We're pursuing all the things that lead to death, because his aim for you is death. And apart from Christ, he wins your soul, which goes to hell. Do you know there's a hell? We don't talk about hell too much anymore because it gives everybody the eebie-jeebies. They don't feel good. They don't want to hear about hell. They want to hear about lollipops and candy corns and unicorns. Hell is real, and I guess I'm just going to hold my role here just a little bit. John 8:47 says, he who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, do you not hear because you are not of God? My prayer right now as we're talking, my prayer for you right now is that your ears be open, your eyes be open to receive what God has for you. If you are not in him now, that the Spirit cut through and get right to your heart, right to your spirit, that you hear him speak today. That's my prayer for everybody here in this room, especially those who don't know who God is. In Isaiah 14, 13, this is where we decline to. This is where we go to. This is who we become if we're not in Christ. For you, this is talking to Satan. Isaiah, the prophet, is speaking to Satan. Have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's Satan's aim. That's his goal, is to be above even the Most High. It says ascend like the Most High. He wants to be the Most High. We today, when we say that there is no God and I want no part of God, my way is the way that works. I'm going to pursue my way. We are echoing what Satan says in his heart. Why do we do that? Because at that point in time, he is your spiritual father. Amen. And we speak like our father. We live like our father. We behave. Satan is not my father. Amen. My prayer is that he's not yours either. And you can decide. If you haven't decided, you can do that today. Romans 3:23 tells us the consequence of that. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All right, if God is not dwelling in us, we fall short. We sin, and the wages of that sin is death, is what the Bible says. And it's death on multiple levels, two levels. There's a physical death that we all experience. But then there's the spiritual death, which is more horrid than the physical death because it is eternal. You are eternally apart from God. Why did that come about? Romans 5:18 tells us, therefore, as through one man's offense, that's Adam, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, that's Jesus, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Who's your spiritual father? Is it Adam? You follow Adam, it leads to death. Is it Christ? You follow Christ, and it leads to life. It's a real simple thing. Through one man's sin, through another man's sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. Jesus. Because this is true, Paul writes in Romans in chapter 6 that he speaks to the standing that we have in regards to God. And then in chapter 7, there's an application piece that he throws in there. It's huge. That the reality is that we are in the flesh. That we are in the flesh and we need to be in the spirit. And he goes into that message about us needing to be in the spirit, needing to have the spirit of God in us so we can hear from God. We see God spiritually. He dwells in our heart and we move by that. That's the introduction. We're going to fly through this thing. It's going to be great. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to know that there is life, peace, power, position in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:1 says, this is so good. This is so good. I was listening to Matt Chandler, and he said that Romans 8 is like a sandwich. You have two slices of bread at the beginning of the chapter, one at the beginning, one at the end of the chapter. What a great picture. Beautiful picture. And in between is the meat. The only difference between Matt Chandler and I is, one, he's known, I'm not. He's wealthy, I'm not. He's funny, I got my good days. And he picked a different scripture for the meat of his sandwich than what I see. In Romans 8:1, it says, now there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. That is such a powerful statement. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. What is condemnation? Condemnation is judgment that comes with punishment, and it's in this case, it's eternal. And he says to the believer, there is no condemnation. What if you're a non-believer? There is condemnation. There is judgment, and it is firm, and it is eternal. There is no backing away from this judgment. The judgment is hell. We don't talk, like I said earlier, we don't talk about hell a lot because it just doesn't feel good. Hell is real. In fact, Jesus spoke more about hell than he did any other topic. Why? He wanted to drive the point home that this is a real thing. Who is your father? If your father is not Christ, then it's Satan. You don't think in those terms. You don't think, well, I'm not following the devil. Well, yes, you are. You don't know what to call him, but you're following him. Anything not following Christ, anything not of faith in him, the Bible says is sin. This is a big deal. What's hell? Hell is eternal. Hell is apart from God eternally. We don't even know what that means. The Bible says that Jesus holds all things together. All things in this cosmos are held together by him. To be apart from him, I can't even begin to imagine. The Bible speaks of weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's hell. Apparently, it's a little hot down there. There's flames. And they don't, and you never get your thirst quenched. Hell is real. If you don't leave here with anything else, let me ruin the rest of your weekend. There is a hell. And I don't care what kind of sweetness we hear. If it doesn't point to Christ, and we don't absorb that into us, and we live thinking that, you know, when I die, I don't believe anything happens. It doesn't matter what you believe then. Amen. There is a hell, and it is real. And you know what? It wasn't initially created for you and for me. It was created for Satan, the one who fell from heaven because of his pride and wanting God's position. It was created for him and his angels, demons. That's what hell was created for. But when man sinned, that separates us from God. The Bible says that sin separates you and me from God. Isn't this a fun chapter? This is a lot of fun if you're saved, if you know who Christ is. But I'm telling you this, this is as real a thing as there is. And there is right now a battle for your soul. And right now I'm going to tell you right where the battle is. The battle is in the heart of each one here who does not know who Christ is. Or the battle is for each one here who has made I love Jesus' forgiveness, but I don't even believe he is all that he says he is. The battle is going on in your heart right now. Because you're not going to be able to leave here without that coming out of you, without that realization that you're not right with Christ. That's the first slice of bread. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Does God love everybody? Yes, he does. I believe God wants to save everybody. I believe that he's called everybody. That's my opinion. By the way, this is later in the chapter. I'm not going to even talk about it except for these few statements. That's my belief. If you don't believe that, that's okay. That's not death and life. That's deep theological discussions. These are the questions for you and for me to ponder and ask, is he real? And do I put him in the position that he desires to be in? That he demands to be in? That he's called me to be in? And in my world, it's yes. Joshua said, choose for you this day whom you'll serve. Whether the God of the Amorites or the whateverites. And then he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We choose him. Elijah said the same thing to the Israelites after he did all the work that we talked about a few weeks ago of blasting away how many prophets. The Baal prophets, the Asherah prophets. And he says to the Israelites, choose this day who you'll serve. If it's the God of the Baals, if he's God, serve him. If it's Asherah, if she's God, serve him, her. But if God, if the Lord is God, then serve him. We always have a choice. And this is the choice that he's putting before us today. Who will you serve? Will you serve self? Self leads to hell. I'm sorry. Nobody says it like that. Self, apart from God, leads to hell. This is about as hard as I can preach. This is as hard as the word is, but it is so not hard because it's he makes a way. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, and then there's a but. And the but is, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life with God, not apart from him. For centuries, the church has come together to worship God. And I believe a couple things are going to happen in the days that we live in. A couple things. There will be a great falling away of those from God, away from God. Because they were one of us, or they were with us, but they were never one of us. In other words, they didn't surrender their heart to God. And at the same time, the Spirit of God's going to move. And I'm seeing it happen. I got a sister in here right now that has blessed me for the last several weeks because she doesn't care. She's an evangelist. She doesn't even know it. And she's inviting people here because she knows the truth. And she wants them to experience it. Thank you, Jesus. And God's going to raise up people. Nobody's going to know. But he's going to move by his Spirit. And his Spirit is going to come upon them. And they're going to do the things that the church has been called to do for thousands of years. So the pretenders are in trouble. The lost whose heart is open and who's hungry for God, he's going to bring them in. And there will be a great outpouring in the days ahead where many will come to the Lord. And they will come ready because the Spirit of God will dwell in them and make them ready. What is he doing with the church right now? He's getting us ready. He's filling the rooms, man. He's getting us ready. And when you're called upon, you move. You move with the, what is that? Move with the cloud, you know? The cloud of God is moving. Move with the cloud. Oh, never mind. That went over like a lead balloon. That was the first slice of bread. Thank you, Jesus, for bread. In the, in Romans, I think the Holy Spirit, I heard this from another source, but there's a couple times that the Holy Spirit is mentioned early on in the book of Romans. But when we get to chapter 8, it's all about the Holy Spirit. It is all about the Holy Spirit. In fact, chapter 8, I think it rivals the book of Acts. It rivals 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It's this call for the Holy Spirit dwelling in your life is everything. So what happens is when you come to Christ, you say, Jesus, I recognize the fact that I am a sinner. I feel like I'm good, but I'm only good compared to that person and that person. But compared to you, I am lost. And I know what I just heard, that the wages of sin is death. And I heard about that gift of God, that's eternal life. I want that. And that's the place where God is looking to take you. I got so excited, I lost my track on that. I'll come back to it, please. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mentions the Holy Spirit all these times because in the days that we live, from the time that Christ died, when God poured out his Spirit on his apostles first and then on the people to follow, to this day, the church, he pours out in his Spirit that we would hear from him. I'm speaking a message right now. If the Spirit of God does not dwell in you and you've hardened your heart against it, you won't hear a word I'm saying. You'll hear it with your ears, but you won't hear it with your spiritual ears. And he's poured out his Spirit that you have the ability to hear with spiritual ears, to make decisions that are essential to eternal life. And he pours it out. And the book of Romans talks about 12 different times. How can you hear the words that people are speaking? How can you hear the words I'm speaking? How could you hear the words that these precious young ladies and precious Mike read to us? If you don't have the ears to hear, if the Spirit of God's not dwelling in you. And I believe that today he's made a way. He's open for those who don't know who Christ is. He's opened something up that you would hear it and receive it. One way or the other. We have a group that prays every Monday. Gerald and Stephanie Hine lead this group. And it's frankly, it's amazing to me that you get between 20 and 30 people every week just praying about this very thing, that people would come to know Christ, that the lost would come to know him, that eternal life would come to them, that they would be spared from death. Isn't that powerful? That is so amazing. People pray for people they don't even know. And they get excited when they hear that somebody has come to God this day and received them. And they know what's going on because they're filled with the Spirit, and they respond to the Spirit, and they hear the Spirit speak. Thank you for that, Jesus. In Romans 8, 9, it says, "But you, the believers, the people in the church, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." There is the war. The flesh wars against the Spirit. That tension has gone on from the beginning. I am a believer, and I'm still at war with my flesh. And so are you. Some of you might not be at war with your flesh because your flesh dictates where you go. You don't even know who Jesus is. There's no battle. There's no Holy Spirit fighting on your behalf. But I'm telling you, sometimes this tension that's inside is so tough to defeat, but God is with me, and if he is with me, nothing can defeat me. Nothing can come against me. I win the battle because he wins the battle for me, but the tension goes on, and I'm at battle all the time. So much so, when I come and speak before you, I go through Ephesians chapter 6, and I put on the armor of God so that when I speak, actually, I like what you said yesterday, that people would come alongside and cover my back and come with me in this, but I have to put the armor on because it is a war going on inside of me, just like it is every other person. We need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to understand what I'm saying. And some who have been believers a long time who got the Spirit, and he's saying, he's not lying. I have to sift through all these words he's speaking, and thank God I got the Holy Spirit. I get the gist of it. But if they don't have the Spirit in them, they can't hear what the Spirit is saying, and it makes no sense to them. Lord Jesus, move by your Spirit. In Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?'" And Jesus is speaking this, and he says, "Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" What's happening there? They're doing works for rewards. They're doing works because it's going to benefit somehow, some way, them. They're not doing it under the Lord because they don't know the Lord. And when he says, "I never knew you," that is the most intimate knowing that there is. And it's heartbreaking when he says, "I never knew you." I want him to know me because he's made himself known to me. And I want him to know me because I've made myself known to him. What does that look like? It looks like CR a lot of times in groups, to be really honest with you, when people are dumping their trucks, man. If you walk by the rooms and you listen, you hear this beep, 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 beep. They're backing up their truck and they're going to dump it. What are they doing really? They're confessing. They're confessing their sin. What's going on spiritually? They're being made known. They're being made known by the ones who love them in the room. They're being made known by God. They've made themselves say, "God, here's my stuff." God says, "I already knew that. You know, I forgave you for that from before the foundation of the earth. But thank you for bringing it up because it was for your good. It was for your good. Jesus, thank you for what you do." In Romans 8:10, it says, if Christ is in you, the body is, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. This is that eternal battle we have with ourselves. The Bible says that in my flesh dwells no good thing. I'm at war with my flesh. I see something wrong on TV, I got to turn the channel. If it's really hard and I can't turn the channel, I got to not turn the TV on. That's simple. I see something on the computer screen, get away from there. I can't, it's just right there. It pops up. You know what pops up? Get off the computer. I'm looking at my neighbor through the window. Don't look through the window. Well, I can't help it. My window's here, theirs is there, and board up your stinking window. Bible says if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. That's kind of harsh. My right hand or left hand causes me to sin, cut it off. Why would I do that? I don't want to cut off my hand and poke up my eye. What he's saying is, do whatever you need to do to not engage in something that's apart from me, is what he's saying. You know what I heard this from some priests who are struggling. Maybe I shared this with you before. I know I shared it with our pastors, but these priests were sharing their struggle that nobody comes to confession anymore and how it pains them to not hear confessions. You see, when you share of your struggle, when you share of your pain, when you share of your sin from one brother to another or one sister to another, they are blessed. The hearer is blessed. And not in any kind of weird, perverted way. They are blessed. And something happens. And they're even set free from something as well. I can't even explain it, though I babble on, right? Something, and these priests are knowing that if nobody's coming to confessions, it does something to them. I think it has to do with what I believe victory is. When a brother comes to me and he shares the sin that's going on inside of him, there's an intimacy that comes about that's healthy. Amen. It's good. I feel for that person. I care about that person. I'm prompted oftentimes to pray for that person. And then for the person unloading, confessing their sin, they're being set free. They're being set free. They're being set free. And the ones they confess their sin to, what do? If the person sins again, they come alongside them and help them through it or her through it. What a beautiful picture of what the church is supposed to do. Confess your sins. Confess them. Confess them daily. Some of us, we won't be able to even, you know, get out of your prayer closet because you're confessing for so long. That's okay. You're in a good place. Confess them. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ by grace that you're saved. Know that he saves us by grace through our faith. He gives us a measure of faith at some level. He gives us evidence at some level. He gives us what we need to believe. I know there's theological positions in that too, but I'm just telling you. Whatever he gives you, know that it originated. If it's good, it originated from him. And receive it. That's the call. Thank you for that call, Jesus. That was the first slice of bread. The second slice of bread that's on the other side. But there's some meat to this, and I've been talking about it, I believe, in a lot of ways. But if I go to Romans 11, it says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. What does that mean? He raised Jesus from the dead, right? Jesus was seen by over 500 people, right? That happened. He raised them. But his body, what about his dead body that was in the grave? It resurrected. His body was new. It was different. It bore his scars, which is a message, but it's a spiritual body. That's what God does. That's what he does when we're in him. He gives us a new body, and he raises it from death to life. But the Spirit... Remember, the flesh profits nothing. Life is in the Spirit. And when the Spirit is renewed, we are with Christ eternally. Eternally. Forever. Just like the people in hell eternally is forever, this is eternally forever. Pastor James will sing a lot of times, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. 10,000 years, we're just warming up. Man, I get excited about what God is doing. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. I'm no longer captive to my flesh. I'm no longer bound in any kind of way to my flesh. It doesn't control me anymore. That's the hope when we have Christ in us. not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. What dies? Your flesh dies. What about your spirit? Eternally, it dies, but it never dies. I want you to hear this. It dies in terms of everlasting life with God. It is dead to that, your spirit. Your spirit is now knit to hell forever. Did I remember to mention that there's a hell out there, right? I said that? All right. Eternally. That's the second death. Jesus, protect us from bad choices. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. When you come to Christ, you change that whole paradigm right there. When you come to Christ, it's a new deal. When I come to Christ, I am broken before Him. This carnal body, this here, flesh and blood, will die. It will be raised anew. But if I'm not in Christ, it will die. And spiritually, the second death is in hell. I think I said that a little bit more the way I wanted to, the way I was supposed to. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." In other words, you've had your chance. And I was talking with Pastor Tim about this. I forgot what I said. What were we talking about, Tim? Do you know? It'll come back to me. It has appeared to all men. Some didn't hear because they didn't have the Spirit of God in them to hear. They closed it off. When we say that today is the day of salvation, it's because you might not hear with spiritual ears anymore. So for all of us, today is the day of salvation. If you've received Christ and salvation has come to you, praise God. If you haven't, I would not let the sun set on this day without saying, I want Jesus. I don't want the second death. I want Him. Thank you, Jesus. It says in verse 14, "For as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Thank you, Jesus. How do we become a child of God? We're adopted in. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Thank you, Jesus. "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." How do you know? You know in your spirit. I know that I know that I know. Not with my brains, with my spirit. I know that I'm a child of God. Why? The Spirit of God reveals it to me. How do I know? Because I can hear Him. Well, how can you hear Him? Because He lives in me. I'm His child. I gave Him all. I backed my truck up. And I gave Him all my sin. And the Bible says that He takes my sin and He removes it from me as far as the east is from the west. And He remembers it against me no more. I'm not liable for my sin. He took it. When did He do that? Good Friday. When He went to the cross, He took my sin. He took my punishment. He took what I deserved. Really? Yeah, you remember when He rose 3 days after that? Goes to the cross. He dies. He's buried. We know that He died. Goes through that 3 days. He ascends. He's seen by over 500 people. 40 days later, He ascends to the Father. Huh. What's He doing right now? Well, according to this chapter, He's making intercession for you and for me. What does that mean? That means He is up in heaven at the right hand of the Father praying for you and for me that we would make this decision right and live by it. Hang on to it. Grasp it. Covet it. That's what He's doing right now. What else is He doing right now? The Father sends His Spirit down to earth. For what purpose? To help us. To come alongside of us. Because we all make mistakes. I make my share. I make as many mistakes as anybody in this room. I heard a beautiful quick testimony during worship on Thursday. I heard enough. And that my life is like rubble. I heard that and it broke my heart, and I knew exactly what they're saying. My heart is like rubble means I've had my share of trials and tribulations and mistakes, and if I was to add them all together and count them up, I'm embarrassed, is what I hear. That is so true for all of us, isn't it? And He takes it away from those who call on Him. He removes it from him, and he says, no more does that have anything on you. He says, I have something for you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, but you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. He knows what you've done, and he's forgiven you. And just when I hear that, you know what my heart does? I'm starting to forgive. That person that comes to me and dumps their truck, I want to forgive. I think that's what the whole deal is. I want to forgive. It feels good to forgive. We're called to forgive. But Jesus is the God of forgiveness. Thank you for that, Jesus. What does that mean for you and me? Verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs. If we become children of God, we become heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we indeed suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. How do we suffer with him? By holding to the faith. The world's going to give you enough to fight against. Your own flesh is going to give you enough to fight against. But he's with us. He is in us. He's with us and in us, that we will be glorified with him as he helps us through it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's hope in the midst of our suffering. Just hang on to that. In verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. Pastor James, you can, thank you. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's what the Spirit does. So when I pray in the English, you've heard me say this before, I might pray for you guys, and I'll mean well. And I pray that God gives you whatever you're longing for. And if I pray in the English, I'll pray for myself, giving me, that God would give me what I'm longing for. And these are good things, decent things. And yet none of that might be what I need. But when I pray in the Spirit, when I pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible said it is the Spirit of God petitioning the Father, who has the Son who's praying for me, interceding for me, about me and what I need more than what I want. So when I pray in tongues, which I pray in tongues more than I pray in the understanding, more than in English. Why? Because I know that it's the Holy Spirit praying through me to the Father. Jesus. I want Jesus praying for me. And he is right now. I want the Holy Spirit. Whatever words come out of me, I want them to be his words going to the Father. That's my heart. Because my flesh prays differently. Oh, Holy Spirit. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, I pray that you ask the Holy Spirit to come in. Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on you. He waits for the invitation. You just invite him in. If you don't know Christ, or if you know who Jesus is, invite the Holy Spirit in. First, apologize to him and say, Holy Spirit, I'm afraid of being embarrassed by you. That was my issue. I was afraid of what people would think. Forgive me, Holy Spirit, for being afraid of what people think. Not anymore. Holy Spirit, have your way in me. Bring life. If you don't know who Christ is, you need to ask him in right now. Where you're at, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, everybody. So this is a personal, private moment for you, between you and God. And I think it's at this point, it's appropriate for you to ponder this question. Do you follow Christ, or do you desire to follow Christ and have him live in you? Do you desire to have him take your sin from you? And do you desire to say, Jesus, be Lord in my life? Because that's what he asks of you, that you would ask that of him. This is the gift of salvation when you invite him in. Is there anybody who's never done that before? You say, I want to do that today. Just raise your hand right where you're at. Just right where you're at. Ask, say, Jesus, I see those hands, ladies. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Sheena, that precious little daughter of yours just raised her hand, just so you know. By the way, we're supposed to come like a child. That's what the Bible tells us. Anybody else want to receive Jesus today? Say, Jesus, I am a sinner. And right now where I stand, if I was to die, I would not be with you. I'd be apart from you because I never invited you in. I never received your gift. Is there anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. This is the greatest decision you can make, I'm telling you. This world is going to be horrible, can be horrible sometimes. But this decision transcends all that. I'll wait just a few more seconds if anybody else wants to receive Christ.